May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be forever acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So Peter knew. Yes, he knew what he was in for, and he knew, for lack of a more eloquent way of putting it, he knew that he was in deep, deep duty. Although he wasn't summoned to Jerusalem, he went there to calm a kerfuffle that had broken out when word had spread that he had been eating with, get this, the uncircumcised. So Peter decides to go to Jerusalem and meet face to face with his detractors. They're circumcised Jews who thought it improper for him to be gallivanting about as he was with uncircumcised Gentiles. But rather than craft a grand defense for himself, Peter simply shares with them a vision he had had and his experience of the Gentiles' conversion. Now, Peter's vision was fairly spectacular. In it, he saw something like a sheet descending from heaven, held up by its four corners. And as it neared him, he saw standing in it all sorts of different animals, including those considered unclean by Jewish law. Along with this vision came the voice of God saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Or perhaps more appropriately, it sounded a little bit more like James Earl Jones, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter refuses, saying, "By no means, Lord, I've never let anything unclean into my mouth. I've never let anything unclean pass through my lips." But God is having none of it, and he fires back, "What God has made clean, Peter, you must not call profane. What God has made clean, you must not call profane." So put another way, what God has made clean, you must not call unclean. Peter, what God has made good, you must not call bad. This simple, simple sentence is a big moment in the history of Christianity. Not only is this the moment that we Christians point to and say that we are no longer bound by the Old Testament's various dietary restrictions, this is where it becomes okay for us to eat lobster and bacon, thanks be to God, but this is also the moment in the history of Christianity that non-Jews are declared ritually clean and are welcomed into the Christian community for the first time. In this single moment, Christianity stops being just a Jewish movement and starts being the church as we know it, a church where all people of all nations, languages, and ethnicities are welcomed in. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. As this lesson is applied by Peter in today's passage, and as it's most often talked about, it's an outward-focused thing. It's an other-focused thing. It encourages us to tear down those walls that separate us from our neighbors. But in these words, I believe there is also something deeply important about our relationship with ourselves. How many of us, I wonder, suffer from a sense of shame about some aspect or another of our lives? How many of us, I wonder, are among the 1 in 5 people who struggle with mental health but don't seek treatment because we feel shame about seeing a therapist? How many of us, I wonder, are among the 1 in 3 Americans overburdened with debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and feel shame about our inability to manage our personal finances? How many of us, I wonder, are among the 1 in 2, that's a full 50% of Americans, who have either lied to our doctor or avoid going to the doctor altogether because we feel some sense of shame about our bodies? How many of us, I wonder? If you count yourself in any of those three categories or carry with you a sense of shame about something else in your life, I invite you to again listen to these words that God spoke to Peter. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made good, you must not call bad. No, you and I, we are not perfect. We do not get everything right. And in fact, most often we do all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. Just like Peter. But nevertheless, God has made us clean. God has made us good. Each and every one of us has the capacity to do better, to love more, to change our hearts, to lead transformed lives. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. Friends, I hope that you will personally pray and work and struggle and fight to believe that this is actually true about yourself, that this is a truth for you and about you. And if not for your own sake, do it for the sake of your neighbor, because we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and if you can't recognize your own goodness, it's hard, if not impossible, to recognize the goodness of others. May the Spirit seal this truth on your heart, even in this moment, even this morning. May you not feel shame about what God has made good, and may you not call profane what God has made clean. Amen.